Welcome to the Optimal Body Podcast. I'm Doc Jen.
And I'm Dr. Dom, and we are doctors of physical therapy, bringing you the body tips and physical therapy pearls of wisdom to help you begin to understand your body, relieve your pains and restrictions, and answer your questions.
Along with expert guests, our goal of the Optimal Body Podcast is really to help you discover what optimal means within your own body. Let's dive in. Vivo Barefoot's actually doing something really cool. If you go check out vivobarefoot.com/vivohealth, which we'll have the link in the show notes as well, but there is a barefoot assessment tool, which Dom and I actually went through ourselves to kind of check out and see how it is. It's pretty cool. And you'll see their online courses there. However, they're giving away their fundamental barefoot course if you purchase one of their shoes. Now, one of their shoes specifically includes either the Primus Light, which is one of their most popular. Like, a lot of people ask me, where to start in Vivo Barefoot shoes. Primus Light is one of the best ones to start with. So if you use code R15% discount code, there's been a code change. Use code OPTIMAL now at checkout to get that 15% off. The code is OPTIMAL. At checkout with one of the Primus Light, then you'll automatically get the fundamental barefoot course, which is pretty cool. So not only are you getting something to functionally help your feet, but you're going to learn as well within the course. Or you can also get the Tracker FG, and that one is also going to come with the fundamentals course. So Vivo's really doing, again, just such great work to not only provide access to some shoes, some great footwear that's really going to help your feet strengthen, allow the toes to spread, get rid of those aches and pains in your feet all the way up the chain, but they're also doing an incredible job on educating and making this information more attainable so you understand how you can continue to take care of your feet. So please go check it out. We'll drop the link, and don't forget to use code TOB15 and you get that 15% off. Up next, we have Sarah Grace Meckelberg, who's one of my good friends. She has been on the online space and someone I've looked up to for nutrition support, hormone health. So I'm really excited for you guys to hear this podcast. And you go follow her now at Sarah Grace Meck. Sarah Grace Meck. Now, she is a media dietitian, a licensed nutritionist, speaker, online social media influencer, and she's the founder of Fresh, Fit, and Healthy. She's got a bachelor's in human nutrition, a master's in exercise physiology and nutrition, and her experience with working with hundreds of women worldwide has really fueled her passion for living out a healthy, balanced lifestyle that helps others do the same. She now specializes in empowering women to really learn how to utilize sustainable, realistic nutrition and lifestyle changes to support healthy hormones and really feel their best so that they can be their best in areas of life that matters the most. She does this through both her free online content, her online courses, and her all-inclusive hormone program, which is called the Hormone Healing Academy. And with over 10 years of experience in the nutrition industry, over 600,000 followers worldwide, she really has dedicated her career to helping women say goodbye to the fad diets, imbalanced hormones, and holding them back in life and feeling their best and create a truly healthy, balanced lifestyle that supports optimal hormone levels. So she actually has her own podcast as well that you can go check out called Real Solutions, like your soul. And that's a podcast in the health space where she talks through hormone health and real life barriers standing in the way of the healthiest and happiest self. So definitely go check her out on podcast, on Instagram, on TikTok, and get your notepad out because you're going to need it for this episode. Sarah, I'm so excited to have you here. You just have like this breadth of knowledge when it comes to hormone health and nutrition that is someone I actually trust. And I mean, obviously we know each other, but following you for years, seeing your growth, it's been incredible. And I'm just very grateful to have you here.
Oh, well, thank you for such a great introduction. I'm so grateful just to be here and be able to talk with you on your podcast.
So one thing that I want to ask is, you know, the online space. You do most of your education online, and that can be a blessing with how many people you can reach, but I'm guessing it can also be really frustrating based on all the information that is out there about nutrition, about diet, about, you know, all these different myths that get thrown out at people, or these easy, you know, cookie cutter diets that people are being told to follow. Like, how do you combat that in the online space?
Yeah. And I'm sure you guys are very familiar with this issue too. And I always say the internet and social media is amazing and has opened up so many opportunities for me to reach more people, like you said. But with that comes, of course, some cons. And You know, I always just try to remind people as much as possible that, like, be careful who you're listening to. Like, do they have credentials behind their name? Do they actually know what they're talking about? Because unfortunately, just like I'm sure you guys experience a lot, you know, there's tons of people that just think like, oh, I got results myself on X, Y, and Z. And so now I can educate a ton of people and charge people for this and that. And unfortunately, it comes with a lot of misinformation. And I always say, I call it kind of like infobesity. Like, we almost have too much information out there, and 95% of it is not good information. And so I always, like, I mean, the biggest way, I mean, I can't combat it, of course, completely, but just trying to always make my audience aware, like, be careful of what you're listening to and be careful of who you're trusting, and just make sure you're looking into what experience they have and credentials they have before you're ever just going to take their advice. Like, and I always tell them, like, same thing, like, goes with what I tell you guys, like, do your research and look into it more. Don't just trust anyone at face value. Like, always question, like, is there truth to this? Like, is there basis to this? Is there a foundational truth to this, instead of just like someone just sharing their opinions on something?
I mean, and I think that's hard, because as someone who might not be in health and wellness or and no nutrition at all, when you're hearing something from someone who looks great, it's easy to feel like, oh, well, if that's what they say to do, this is what I'm going to start doing. Are there any diets or things, especially for women, that you say, you know, this can be actually harmful or create damage in a different way? So are there things that you say, okay, yes, you know, get your knowledge from out wherever you are going to, but be careful for these certain things?
Yeah. And of course, there's always like new fads popping up. And so if it's number one, I always say, if it sounds too good to be true, it probably is. There's no shortcuts or magic pills out there that are going to change your health or your hormone health overnight. And so if someone's claiming that there is, it's probably just them trying to sell you on something. But when it comes to like specific things, I see a lot of times, the biggest ones I see are kind of like the keto and extremely low carb diets. Now, I think that there's a place of moderate and smart carbs in your diet instead of the typical American diet. But at the same time, the keto and extremely low carb movement, you know, I see some men do somewhat good on that. But the problem is that we don't realize, or that most women don't realize, is that we're different than men when it comes to our bodies and our hormones. And what works for one person is not going to be best for everyone. And what works for some men is definitely not going to be what's best for a woman. And so, you know, the extremely low carb diets or keto kind of type diets, and then also intermittent fasting is another big one. Not that it's bad for everyone. And again, it's very individualized, but if you're in a place where you're already in a stress season, or, you know, any kind of cortisol issues going on, something that is going to be a stress on your body, like skipping meals or going too long without eating, is not going to be what's best for you. And so there's, again, this is where it's, you know, just because it's good for someone or because it worked for somebody doesn't mean it's what's best for you. And that's where I'm always trying to tell people, you know, listen to someone that knows what they're talking about and is going to help you as an individual and in a personal way, not just, hey, this is what worked for me, and so this is what I think is best for everyone type of a situation.
So what is it about those, you know, the keto or the really low carb diet specifically that some people can, or especially some women can start to run into?
So when it comes to low carb diet specifically, I mean, so one of the biggest things is, I mean, there's a lot of different factors at play when it comes to this, but
of course,
one of the biggest ones is, you know, anything that's a, like, I always say one of the biggest foundational pillars of hormone health is lowering and managing your stress levels. Mm-hmm. And we kind of think of that as just, oh, do I feel stressed? Like, am I emotionally stressed? And that's definitely one part of it. And we want to lower that kind of stress too. But when it comes to other stressors, you know, there's dietary stressors, there's environmental stressors, there's lifestyle stressors. So things like not sleeping enough and things like toxins in our products. But you know, when it comes to dietary stressors, one of the biggest ones is either, you know, not eating enough. I mean, overeating is too, but under eating, skipping meals, too low carb of diets. And when it comes to these like keto and extremely low carb diets, the problem is with these is that a lot of times, you know, our bodies, number one, need that energy source of carbohydrates. It's less about I need to cut them all out. And it's more about let's be smart about which ones we're eating and moderate amounts of them. And I think that women are just kind of given this, like, just cut it all out. And I feel like we're kind of like all or nothing creatures where we love to just like be given like cut this entire food group out, cut this out. And we do somewhat better in the short term with that. And so we think that that quote unquote works. But the problem with that is that, you know, carbs are a huge part of our hormone health and supply our body with energy and also fuel our hormones for healthy hormone levels. And so when it comes to these extremely low carb diets that are completely removing them, or you're, you know, 5 to 10% only of your diet is coming from carbohydrates, that's when we've got some issues. And we see that, you know, short term, you may see some things like weight loss because, you know, carbs hold on to water and whatnot. But long term, we're seeing that it's not very helpful, and especially not helpful with women.
That's so interesting. And I love that you kind of highlight it in that way, that we have to be mindful of the stress we're putting in your body. And like you said, a lot of people think of stress as how I'm feeling and if my environment feels stressful, but not necessarily on how what your foods are or how you're stressing your body based on those foods, or skipping meals, fasting, and how that's a stress on the body. I think that's not often thought about. So that's huge. And then, are you working out a ton? Are you doing this? Like, all these different stressors that are adding into our body. Are there, just so that we can like kind of wrap this picture, are there carbs that you recommend people or women in special, or just anyone, kind of leaning toward more so?
When it comes to like what we should be having versus, you know, maybe not so smart. And I always say, like, I don't like to label foods good and bad because all foods can fit. But when it comes to like what on average are you eating, you're really wanting those moderate and like smarter carbs that have some fiber and some nutrients in them, and not the super extremely processed and refined types of things. Like, you'd think like white carbs and things that come in packages and, you know, all that kind of stuff is the things we kind of want to decrease in our diet and reduce. And the things more like potatoes, sweet potatoes, brown rice, quinoa, fruit, like those are the type of carbs we're wanting. Even vegetables are a source of carb. And so those are the kind of things we want. And again, if you think about it, that's why when you think about these extremely low carb diets, it's like, well, you're cutting out a ton of good things for you too, like beans and fruits and vegetables and all these different things that are really have a high nutrient density to them. And now we're calling them quote unquote bad just because it's a diet that somebody wants to follow. And again, the keto diet was never something for weight loss or for health. It was for people with epilepsy that, you know, is going to help with their seizures. And that's what it's proven to be good for. And somehow it's been taken to say, like, because it's good for this group of people, now it's good for everyone. And, you know, studies show that restricting your carb intake too drastically is going to lead to decreased thyroid output, increased cortisol, decreased testosterone, impaired mood, muscle breakdown, and suppressed immune function. So these are all things that you're going to deal with in the long term when you're cutting carbs too much.
That's huge.
So, I mean, first off, I just love how you can put these things so simply. And I think that I notice this a lot online, that the people who have great online platforms, you're such a good educator. And so if people are looking for somebody to follow, you should definitely go check out Sarah Grace Mech on Instagram. I love how you deliver your content in these short little tidbits, but then you have great information and captions and stuff. So go check her out. But related to that, I just kind of want to ask, like, what made you interested in this field in general? What made you interested in getting into, you know, being a dietitian? And can you talk a little about the transition to online? Then why did you decide to go like, oh, I want to educate online and get more out of the traditional setting?
Yeah. You know, I always say that in any kind of valley in my life or hard season of life, like, I always try to find purpose in my pain. And I always try to find like, okay, how can this be turned to good? How can I help people because of this? And way back when I was in high school and college, like, I went through an eating disorder, and you know, used food in a completely bad way and looked at it in a very negative way and try to control everything through food just because things were going on in my life that I didn't love. And so I was like, well, I can't control anything else. I'm going to control my food. And so that led me down like the path of an eating disorder and was able to find full freedom from that by college. But I started like, that's what really sparked my interest of, okay, I'm in a healthy place mentally again and physically. And now I want to use, you know, this, I want to find purpose in my pain of that season of life and help people through food and do it the right way and help people find that healthy balance through it all. So that's kind of what started my journey. And then, you know, going into my season of engagement and marriage, you know, another valley kind of came about where I hopped on hormonal birth control because I, you know, just, you know, that's what you're kind of told to do. Like you're told, like, I know I got on hormone. I was told to get on hormonal birth control back in high school because my acne back in college because my period was irregular. And then, you know, going into the season of marriage, they're like, oh, like you, if you're not on this, like you're going to get pregnant right away. Mm-hmm. So like, this is your only option basically is what they told me in the office. And so I believed mm-hmm. them. Cause I mean, at that point I wanted to trust the quote unquote professional in the area. And so got on hormonal birth control, became someone I didn't even recognize in the mirror. Just physically, I wasn't feeling good, but mentally, like my fiance at the time, now husband, thankfully he stuck with me through it. But the season of engagement that was supposed to be the best time ever was the hardest time of our entire, you know, time together as a, you know, engaged or married couple, because I just, my mood swings were all over the, like my mood was all over the place. I was an emotional roller coaster. My gut was all off. My skin was off. Like I just became someone, I had insomnia, like just everything changed within 3 to 6 months of being on it. And I didn't think, I honestly didn't think it was the birth control. Cause I was like, it can't be this. And so I was like, oh, I'm just stressed, like being a business owner and planning a wedding and all this stuff. And then, you know, started doing some research one night when I was hit an all time low. And realized, wait, it can be this. It actually could definitely be this. And why wasn't I told any of this? And so, you know, going back to the office, explaining what I was going through, explaining that I wanted to get off, and was kind of just discounted and basically told, you know, I mean, it's just trial and error. Just get on, just try a different one. Mm-hmm. And this is kind of like all in your head. Like hormonal birth control could never do this to you. And so I realized in that moment that I was going to kind of have to just be my own guinea pig and I was going to have to go on this journey on myself by myself and figure this out myself. And that's what started my focus in hormone health, because, you know, before that, I just thought hormones were something you dealt with when you were pregnant and when you were going through menopause and that's it. And I didn't realize how much they affect you in all seasons of life, no matter what season of life you're in. And how at any point in time, due to so many different factors, they can become imbalanced and what that can do to our, you know, everyday lifestyle and quality of life. And so, you know, just starting to rebalance, like I, you know, kind of was my own guinea pig, read a ton of research, read a ton of books within like 6 months and found kind of the pathway back to balance myself, found out about fertility awareness method and how to track my cycle, things like I feel like we should be taught this in sex ed,
yeah,
but we're not. and so just started, you know, just sharing my story online about what I was going through, how, you know, how, like when I was struggling before I even had answers, and just had so many women be like, oh my goodness, like that's me right now. Like, wow, like I don't feel alone anymore. And that's kind of what really sparked my just focus and me just kind of starting to specialize once I found the answers and started to do research and, you know, become more of an expert in that area, like what made me want to emphasize and focus in that area.
I mean, that's huge. Birth control is something that, you know, not just for the prevention of pregnancy, but it gets pushed on so many people to quote unquote regulate your period, to mm-hmm. control these acne flare-ups or mood swings or different things that it can actually cause. So can you talk a little bit about, you know, why this gets pushed so much and why that's actually not doing what they say it's going to do? Like it's not actually regulating your period.
Yeah. So first of all, I'll just kind of give a little disclaimer. Like I'm not anti birth control. And I always think every woman should have their own choice. You know, once they know how it works, what it could do, the side effects, like if you still feel like that's your best option, then that's totally your decision and up to you. But I just, I'm pro information and pro empowering women that do want another option, that do want to be told like how it actually works because they were never told that. And so that's like, you know, who I'm here for. But when it comes to hormonal birth control, things that we aren't actually told, you know, like what you had just mentioned, we're told that it quote unquote balances our hormones, that it regulates our cycle, that it's going to fix your acne, it's going to fix this, it's going to fix your heavy period, it's going to fix your PCOS. And unfortunately, that's anything, you know, that's the farthest from the truth. And what it really does is it floods our body with synthetic hormones, which tells our body to stop making our own hormones. So it suppresses our natural hormone production and it shuts down a very key process called ovulation in our bodies. And that's how it, you know, quote unquote, prevents pregnancy as well. Because if you're not ovulating, you're not going to get pregnant. But, you know, it's basically masking whatever other symptoms you're having. Like it could mask that acne, it could mask that those period issues for a little bit, but it's not fixing anything. And so women get on this, you know, and they're getting on it at such a young age now and could be on it for 10 years plus. And then they get off thinking like, okay, everything's going to be great now. And sometimes those problems, or a lot of times those problems, come back, and sometimes with vengeance, because it's now been 10 years of masking those issues instead of really working on the root cause of what was going on and why it's happening. And as an example, like PCOS, like, it's like the root causes of PCOS are inflammation and blood sugar dysregulation. And one of the main things that hormonal birth control has been shown to cause is inflammation in our bodies. And so we're being told to get like take something that is doing the exact thing that's a root cause of the issue. Yeah. And so it's just, you know, like that's kind of, you know, in a very short summary of kind of like how it works and what it's doing. But that's why I always say, you know, if that's still what you want to do and what's best, but 99% of the time, there are other options and better options for you if you want to hear about them.
Mm. And I think you point out something that's like a real unfortunate, because it's almost just like positive feedback. Like you're saying, the more that you're taking this birth control, it might actually be perpetuating some of the underlying root causes that you are trying to get away from. And I think there are a lot of people out there that would say, oh, yes, I want to try getting off of the birth control that I'm on. You know, it's just when I try that, there's so much pain. There's so, you know, there's very rough menstrual cycles that are involved. So how can someone even start to approach addressing that root cause if they have been on something like this for 10 years but want to get off?
Yeah. So there's, you know, some pillars of hormone health. And I always say you can start to support your hormones somewhat, even if you're not comfortable with just, you know, jumping off of hormonal birth control, and always consult with your doctor too, even though I'm not going to promise you you're going to get support in that area. But when it comes to, you know, supporting your hormones, you can do somewhat, you know, some things to combat those things that hormonal birth control are causing. So say hormonal birth control is known to cause gut imbalances or, you know, gut dysbiosis. And so, you know, that's something that we can be trying to support our gut as much as possible while still, you know, if you're still on hormonal birth control, you know, it's known to cause inflammation. So eating a more anti-inflammatory diet and having omega-3s like can be helpful. You know, it's known to cause nutrition deficiencies in key nutrients, which is another huge, you know, brings another huge topic up of, you know, women are told they can just get off hormonal birth control and just start trying to get, like, I mean, most women do get off hormonal birth control because they're ready to try to get pregnant, and you're deficient in key nutrients like folate. Like that's one of the main ones that's known to deplete in your body. And yet that's one of the key ones you need for a healthy pregnancy. And so, you know, women just aren't told these things. I know I wasn't. And so another thing is to replete those nutrients, like all the B vitamins, vitamin C, vitamin E, zinc, magnesium, selenium. Those are all nutrients that hormonal birth control is shown to deplete in studies. And so, you know, those are the biggest things we can do while still on it. Now, you're never going to be able to really balance or create healthy hormones while on it, because, of course, that it's suppressing your natural hormone production. But you can, you know, kind of do those things until you're at least ready to kind of come off of it and you have another plan of action. Because I always say, like, don't just jump off. Like, if you're not ready to get pregnant, like, you do want to have a plan B and like another method before you just hop off it. But those are some things that you can be focusing on just to, you know, try to decrease the things that are coming from hormonal birth control. And then when you're ready to get off of it, you can really go through, you know, all the steps and all the pillars of hormone health to really rebalance your hormones. So, you know, through a nourishing and, you know, through nourishing and balanced meals and an anti-inflammatory diet to balance your blood sugar levels and managing all the stressors, you know, dietary stressors, environmental stressors, things like what's in your products. Are you using products that have endocrine disruptors in them that, you know, I think the anything with the word fragrance that you have, you know, your perfumes, your deodorants, any body washes, all of that is like a cover-up word for hundreds of ingredients that could be causing, you know, disruptions in your hormones. You know, of course, your air quality, your water quality, all that's kind of under the environmental stressor category. Lifestyle stressors, so too intensive workouts, not enough sleep, excessive alcohol, smoking, things like that. Boosting our health through our gut and supporting our liver. So supporting our gut and liver is two huge other things that we need to be doing for optimal hormone health. Because if you think about it, you know, our liver and our gut is what kind of rids the toxins, rids the excess hormones that we don't need in our body. And so if they're not working properly, those are just getting released back into our system. And we're going to have, you know, things like estrogen dominance and things like that that are that lead to a ton of other symptoms we don't like. Prioritizing high quality rest and sleep, of course, is another one. And then lab work. You know, all those things are the key kind of pillars of optimal hormone health.
I think it could just, I mean, yes. And, you know, when you hear it listed off, it can feel quite overwhelming. Well, then how do I go out with friends? How do I have to be perfect all the time? And I mean, even for myself, I know when I was trying to be, you know, really good within my body because I wanted to feel the best I could leading up to my wedding, I was strict. And I did, you know, have to limit how much, what kind of foods I would intake at a party or what I was drinking and what I was doing. And it was, you know, a quote unquote kind of a restrictive way. Now, I wasn't counting calories. I wasn't restricting it. I was fueling my body. I loved my food I was eating, thanks to my incredible husband, who's also a chef. But you know, it can feel a little bit overwhelming. So how do you say, you know, getting started? What do you say in those instances?
Yeah. And I totally feel you with that. And that's, I feel like my background of just even having an eating disorder has helped me to make sure there is a balance there. It's not like, I feel like a lot of people that I see in the hormone space, like they are giving pretty restrictive dietary protocols and meal plans and stuff. And, you know, sure, anyone can follow a meal plan for 2 to 4 weeks, maybe a little bit longer, but like that's not going to be your long-term solution.
Yeah.
And I always say that if you can't follow this 5 years from now, it's not a good plan for you, because we want to find something that's sustainable, that allows for your daily life still, but is still making you feel your best. And so with that being said, it's always about small steps of progress, number one. And in the beginning, you know, it may seem like bigger steps because you're trying to remove some things from your diet. But I always use the word remove like very cautiously. And I'm always like, how about we reduce these things? Because I'm somebody that like, you know, I mean, not right now, not for the last 10 months, but, you know, I usually like to have like my little cocktail or my glass of red wine. And I think that can all fit in like a healthy lifestyle, a hormone happy lifestyle. And you know, I can have that piece of cake out at like an event and stuff and be okay with it, because it's not that one meal or that one time you eat that's going to affect your health or do like completely mess up your hormone health. It's going to be what you do on average. And so when it comes to just like, I always say progress, not perfection, and start with where you're at and take small steps. You know, everyone's in a different place when they're getting started. Some people may already eat a relatively, you know, pretty good diet. And so it's kind of just making small tweaks here and there. Maybe you're going to start with, you know, just looking at your personal care products and cleaners and fragrances that you're using and try to, you know, slowly ditch and switch those. And again, even that topic alone can be overwhelming. Mm-hmm. And it's like, let's not try to be perfect about it. I'm all about a less toxic life. I'm by no means perfect. I still have certain things And every once, and when I need bleach in my house because of something, I'm gonna use it. Yeah. But, you know, at the end of the day, like my, on average, what we're using is, you know, non-toxic cleaners, personal care items like body wash, shampoo, conditioner, makeup, all that kind of stuff that doesn't have endocrine disruptors in them. But that took about 2 years to get to that place. Like I didn't just like throw everything out overnight and buy thousands of dollars worth of new products. It was, hey, as something's running out and I have to buy it again anyways, let me try to find a better alternative. Mm. And kind of slowly that way. And with diet, it's the same thing. It's like, okay, let's just try to be a little bit better than yesterday. I always say like, play the game of a little bit better. Like, you know, if you were going to Starbucks and getting a big Frappuccino and a muffin for breakfast, well, maybe you're still going to go to Starbucks, but you're going to try to do a latte instead of a Frappuccino that has a little less sugar. And you're going to, you know, order an egg sandwich instead of the muffin to get a little bit of protein and healthy fats in. And it's always about a little bit better, a little bit better. Because if you tell someone, you know, to completely change your entire lifestyle overnight, well, that's not going to last. That's going to be overwhelming and you're going to quit before you even get started. And so it's really about meeting the person where they're at and trying to help get them, you know, the starting steps and just being a little bit better in one of, even just one of those areas. You know, maybe this week I'm going to focus on just drinking more water. I'm just going to try to get more water in. Or this week, I'm really going to prioritize getting more sleep. You know, this week I'm going to really prioritize getting, you know, one or two servings of more vegetables in and maybe trying to incorporate some cruciferous vegetables that are really good for my hormone health. So it's, you know, those small steps like that versus thinking I have to be perfect overnight or perfect ever. You know, none of us are, you're never going to be perfect. I'm never going to be perfect even as a dietitian. And so you're setting yourself up for failure and just defeat and overwhelm if you're trying to seek this, you know, perfect diet or perfect lifestyle.
100%.
I mean, the major issue with that, just let me point this out, is that it's not sexy, which is why it doesn't sell online. And it's why it's so hard for people to get to grasp on these. I mean, it's the same thing for movement that Jen preaches all the time, is it's like those little 5 to 10 minute things a day that you do daily for years that is going to make this constant and consistent change in your body. And it's just unfortunate that it's really hard to get people to grab onto those over the 30-day plan that is going to help you change your life.
And I mean, that goes back to what we talked about in the beginning of just people, you know, trying to sell things online. But it's, you know, we would all love instant results. I think all of us would want, like, kind of admit that, like, hey, yeah, if there's something that worked and gave me results in 1 week, like, yeah, I'd want it. But we have to just guard our hearts and minds against those things, because you have to realize, like, it's too good. If it sounds too good to be true, it is. And, you know, just like you said, it's hard to convince someone that, like, hey, hormone health takes 3 to 6 months to really conquer. And even if you're doing all the right things, it can take 3 to 6 months to see changes. And it's hard to sell someone on that. It's hard to make someone want to invest that, you know, time to see those changes instead of, like you said, a 30-day plan and you're going to lose the weight and feel great and have all the energy in the world that someone else is trying to sell out there. But I'm always going to stay true to what I know is right. And that is, hey, like, it's not an overnight solution. Like, it took you longer than a week or two to get here. It's going to take you longer than a week or two to get back to a good place.
Yeah, I mean, that's huge. And when we talk about understanding an anti-inflammatory diet, like, what does that exactly mean? Because I think there's a lot of different, again, labels that get thrown out in terms of food and what and diet and what you should be doing. So when, because you've thrown this out a couple times now, you know, adding in that anti-inflammatory diet, well, what does that mean? Like, what can someone start to take action on today to start implementing some of these things?
Yeah, one of the biggest, easiest things you can be doing is just adding more color. Not like M&M type color, but like adding more color in terms of, you know, vegetables and fruits. Like, if you can add more color to your plate with vegetables and fruits, like, that alone can give off a lot of different nutrients and antioxidants that can really help kind of combat the inflammation. And not all inflammation is bad, by the way. Like, that's a natural process, as you guys know, but, you know, it's when we have too much of that inflammation going on. And say, just like omega-3s versus omega-6s. So omega-3s are kind of like our anti-inflammatory, fats and oils, and omega-6s are kind of like the pro-inflammation type foods. And, you know, it's not that omega-6s are terrible and evil and we have to rule them all out, but the good ratio would be like 1 to 1, 1 to 3 omega-3s to omega-6s in our diet. And unfortunately, the typical American diet is like 1 to 20. And so we're having way too many of, you know, those omega-6s and not enough of those omega-3s. And I always say, like, the biggest thing to start with is not to remove, but to add. Because adding is like, come with an abundance mindset of like, what can I add to my plate versus what do I need to take away? Because nobody likes to like be told like, oh, I have to remove this, 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 and this, and this. And naturally, those other things will kind of decrease and be reduced in your diet when you're adding the right things anyways. And so, yeah, there's things like too much added sugar, trans fats, simple carbs, highly processed foods, artificial sweeteners and ingredients that we should like try to reduce. But more than that, let's add more colorful fruits and vegetables. Let's add more things like grass-fed beef and lamb and bison and bone broth. Let's add more healthy fats like avocados and coconut and extra virgin olive oil and, you know, thing and seeds and nuts. Let's add more omega-3 foods like salmon. Sardines are also a great example of omega-3s, but I don't know how many people really want to eat sardines.
Dom every week.
I'll slurp those things down straight.
Oh, so gross. So gross. I can't.
I can't either.
Okay. I know that I'm a little weird when it comes to sardines, but I love how you approach the whole anti-inflammatory thing from the aspect of adding things in, because I think when we really focus on adding those things, adding the nutrient-dense food, adding the foods that we know are going to fuel and work with our physiology a little bit better, it just, you know, creates less space for that other stuff subconsciously, whether you're thinking about it or not. I think something that you've talked a bit about as well is, you know, getting labs or taking blood work. And would you have any recommendations if someone's listening and they're like, hey, I think that this might be me, or I feel like I do have some hormone dysregulation and I want to get blood work. I just don't know where to start. Do you have any recommendations on that?
Yeah. So blood work can be helpful. I more so highly recommend the Dutch test, and it stands for dried urine test for comprehensive hormones. But sometimes the serum levels just aren't the best way to test. It really depends on the individual. You know, it can be okay and accurate, but it's kind of just like one point in time. So it depends which hormones you're getting tested, and also it just depends on your situation and life season. So if like, say you don't have a regular cycle, then it may not be accurate testing, because say like for estrogen and progesterone, you want to test that 5 to 7 days after ovulation. And so if you are just getting blood work done on any given day of the month, it may not be an accurate, you know, portrayal of what those levels are. And so the Dutch test is really helpful, and it comes with all the sex hormones, cortisol, a lot of other type of things that you can see kind of the full picture. So I really love the Dutch test. And then the one thing the Dutch test doesn't cover is thyroid. So I would always tell people to also get a full thyroid panel, and not just TSH, which most doctors are going to try to like just test your TSH or just your maybe T4 too. But you really want that full thyroid panel to see the full pictures, and you're probably going to have to fight them on it. But TSH, you know, free and total T3, free and total T4, reverse T3 and all the antibodies too, just to, you know, really see if there's anything going on. And then outside of that, it really depends on the person and what symptoms they have. But sometimes a GI map test can be very helpful. And then of course, getting just your annual normal blood work done and vitamin D tested can also be super helpful.
And are there supplements that you kind of generally, I know we talked about a few, especially, you know, in terms of getting off birth control, which I got to say, I did supplement when I was getting off birth control, and it was a huge help. I got my period back pretty quickly. I didn't have a lot of symptoms. And I know before, when I would go off birth control, just like to take breaks, I would not have a period for 3 months, or, you know, it was all over the place. So it is super helpful. Like, I hope you guys were taking notes during that time or go back and listen. But are there other kind of general supplements? Can someone supplement out about a bad diet? Like, how does all this supplementation work? Because I think that's huge in this topic as well.
Yeah. And going off of them taking notes, I have a free class that's called Your Roadmap Off Hormonal Birth Control.
Perfect.
So if they need to like have a refresher, there's a free class that I can give you to give them. But when it comes to supplements, just in general, you know, here's the thing. You're never going to be able to out supplement a bad diet or lifestyle. And I always get the DMs of like, I have blank. What supplement should I take? And I get it, because we, you know, as just human beings, we just want to be given like that one thing that's going to help and not really focus on our stress and our sleep and all these other things. But I always say supplements are just that. They supplement an already healthy diet and lifestyle. And it's never going to be like the one. Like, you can take all the supplements in the world and still not feel your best if your diet and lifestyle aren't, you know, on point and aren't, you know, you aren't trying to, you know, make changes there too. And so always, you know, diet and lifestyle first, supplements and targeted supplementation on top of that. So, you know, not just like, hey, I'm going to take all these random supplements and be taking 10 to 20 supplements a day. We want to be taking targeted supplements according to your personal needs and not just like, hey, my friend takes this, so it's probably best for me too. Mm. And that's where all those cookie cutter hormone balancing supplements, please just try to stay away from them, like the Alani News Balance and stuff like that. Not because they're bad for everyone, but because it's very different for every individual. And say like something like the Alani News Balance supplement, I hear a lot of women taking, you know, that has DIM in it, which is great if you have high estrogen. But if you have low estrogen, you're going to do yourself more harm by taking a supplement like that. And that's where like those cookie cutter supplements can like not be so great for you. So instead of that, we want to kind of start with the foundational supplements. You know, things like a quality multivitamin, omega-3, probiotic. And then on top of that, then you get into like the targeted supplementation for your personal needs after possibly getting testing done and seeing where you're at. So, you know, if you have high estrogen, then yes, DIM is a great one in most cases. You know, if you have cortisol imbalances, there's a lot of things you can be doing for that, like vitamin C, B vitamins, adaptogens, things like that. But it's, again, very targeted supplementation based on you and your life season and your symptoms and your personal, you know, levels of hormones.
Is there a specific company or companies that you like to go to as kind of your trusted source? Like, you know, they test their stuff, it has in it what they say it has in it, and it doesn't come with any other crud that you might find in some supplements out in the industry?
Yeah, there's a few, and it depends. Like, there's, of course, for like certain things like prenatals, there's other brands too. But for like overall supplements, you know, Thorne is a great one. Pure Encapsulations is a good one. Seeking Health is a great one. I use some Young Living supplements as well. And they're, you know, pure and trusted ingredients in there as well. But the, like I always say, if you're going to a CVS and there's cheap supplements on the counter, there's probably a reason why they're cheap. Mm. And I know that people want something that, oh, and Now Foods is also a really great one. But when it comes to, you know, cheap supplements, I always say like, I'd rather you not supplement than take cheap ones. Because most of those cheap supplements are cheap for a reason. And we don't know, you know, how they've been stored, how long they've been there, you know, what ingredients are really in them, are they third party tested, like all these different things. And so, you know, really making sure you're going with a trusted company is definitely a huge thing to be focusing on.
Yeah, I mean, so huge. And again, Sarah just has so much information. We're definitely going to link to that free.
Yeah. So I have two free classes, actually, one for your roadmap off birth control, and then another one that's just about fixing the root causes of anywhere from insomnia to sex drive to period problems to PCOS to all the different things I talk through in that class. So depending on what their needs are, there's two different free classes there.
Amazing. So we're going to definitely link those in the show notes. So you guys can just click below, check that out, and definitely go follow Sarah Grace on TikTok. I know you're big on TikTok as well, right?
Yeah. I you know, I never really wanted to get on there, but I did, and here we are. So.
No, it's great though. You're helping people. You're helping get some of the myths that we've been told or that circulate a lot on social media. And so you're truly helping people get back into understanding the root cause. And I will always say it starts with the basics, you know, and for myself as well, I get to be reminded all the time, hey, Jen, you get to sleep more.
Yeah. It's a forever journey. You're never going to just arrive at like, oh, I'm perfect now. You know, like you said, like there's going to be seasons of life. You're like, man, I've fallen off with the sleep. Like I need to get back to it. And it's all about like, again, progress, not perfection. And like your health and your journey is not a pass or fail exam. Like, it's not like, oh, did I pass or fail today? It's like, hey, like, did I do my best today? And if not, like, it's okay, but let's kind of see where we can get back on track with that.
That's so huge. I mean, there's always the opportunity of, okay, what's next? And what can I do today, tomorrow, to do something that makes me feel a little bit better? I think a lot of people, it's like, oh, well, I fell off, so fast food for the week, or I'm done.
And I always say, like, find your why. Like, that's going to be like, people always ask, like, how do I stay motivated, though? And it's like, I don't always feel motivated either. It's less about motivation and more about, like, having my deeper why of why I'm doing this. Like, I do this because, like, I know, like, why, like, I feel my best so that I can be my best in the areas that matter most to me when I'm doing these things. And so, do I always wake up and I'm like, yes, that's exactly, I want to go work out right now. Or, like, you know, I really want to you know, shut down early for the night so I get enough sleep. Like, no, but like, yeah, it's more so about having that deeper why that's going to keep driving you even on the days that you don't necessarily feel like it.
100%. I couldn't agree more. Thank you so much, Sarah, truly, for being here, for dropping so much wisdom on this podcast. We really appreciate you. We appreciate what you're doing out in the world, and we hope to see you soon.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I know. I need to come see you guys out there.
I just love how Sarah talks through those topics. She makes it so understandable, and she doesn't approach it from that restrictive way or that limitation perspective. She is always looking at how we can add things in or how we can do it specifically in a way that works for you and your specific body. And that's what we're all about here on the Optimal Body Podcast. If you love what you're hearing, if you love this episode, please share it out with someone, or please consider going to your favorite podcasting app and leaving us a rating and review. If you do leave us a rating or review, email us, let us know at jen@docgenfit.com, and we'll be willing to give you a 25% discount code for our new Optimal Body Therapy Kit. And of course, we will see you next time on the Optimal Body Podcast.